prepare our hearts for worship. Let us pray together. You walk with us each day. You give us hope and grace each moment. You love us in ways that we cannot imagine. And then on this one moment, we gather here and you call us to worship. Let us worship you from the depths of our being. Let us worship you with all that we are and all that we possibly can be. And help us to open our souls specifically to your calling. Grant us your peace in all that we are. And may this be a day that we honor you with our very being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The opening hymn is page 77, How Great Thou Art. We will follow that by the Affirmation of Faith, the Nicene Creed, which is page 880. Let us stand and remain standing for the hymn and the creed.
Great Thou Art, how great Thou art.
The Nicene Creed, page 880. Let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our children, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
would ask that you would take this time and share both your joys and your concerns. For me, one of the first joys is to be back from annual conference. Amen. We had a great time there most of the time. And it was good to be there. And it is, as one of those people say, it is good to be back from there. And so we're glad to be back with you this morning. Other joys or concerns today? Yes, Mr. Larry. Had nothing to do with the 14 fire alarms or how many you had in Lambeth Inn last week, and all y'all went through with that. And so we'll pray for Mary this day. Are there others? If not, let us pray together. People do need the Lord in more ways than we can count how much we do need you. We also need each other to be in love with each other in a way that only you can give love, to care for each other in only way, only you can give us care, and to give us peace as only you can give. We need that for ourselves and for the ones around us, for our community, for those who struggle with life, and for those who simply aren't sure about life. We do pray for Mary, Lord, that you would heal her. Hear both that congestion and let that arm heal at a faster pace than it is so that she can feel strong and healthy. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us this day. We, as a congregation, need your guidance in ways that we cannot imagine. We need your hope in ways that we can only fathom. And we need you to give us the answers that we all seek in a way that only you can give, in a way that only you can walk with us. So we ask this day, O Lord, that you would grant us that peace within our soul, that direction that only you can give, that hope that only we can have if we follow what you are saying to us, and a strength that is beyond belief. Guide us in the silent prayers that each of us have for our families and our friends, and for the prayers of the other two congregations that we've been at this morning. Be with them and have those prayers be part of us as we pray for each other. And we ask, O Lord, that you would grant us this day the ability to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask that you would find your hymn books again and turn to page 159, Lift High the Cross. We're singing this for Larry, so we want him to sing a solo somewhere in here today. Just kidding about the solo, Larry. At one of the worship services this week, they sang this, and Larry really liked it. If I remember correctly, Marilyn and I both remember that, so we looked it up again. So page 159, if you would stand and sing with us, Lift High the Cross, sing it loud and sing it like you mean it. Let's pray together. May the gift that we give not be just a gift, but our entire being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing. Trying to get y'all to be good at singing today. Page 158, Come Christians Join to Sing. And remain standing after that for our scripture reading. Reading today is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 10. Let us hear God's word. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities, it can never be by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year after year make perfect those who approach. Otherwise, would they not have ceased being offered, since the worshipers, cleansed once for all, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year after year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sin offerings you take no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written for me." When he said above, "You have neither desire nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings according to the law," then he added, "I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. May the joy of the reading of God's word in of itself change us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Mary Lynn and I and Larry at annual conference got to listen to Bishop Gregory Palmer preach. I always enjoyed Bishop Palmer. I think they enjoyed him also. If he was here this morning, he would say, "I know that I am all that stands between you and a church council meeting. I will do my best to get you there as soon as I can." And then he would go preach for 45 minutes. But still, he always began by something. One night he said, I know that I am the one keeping you from your ice cream and your cookies. And then he would preach for 45 minutes. And he's a great preacher. He really preaches well. He always has, and he does well. But I just thought I would throw that in for two of them and myself. And for the rest of y'all, you can take that one and know that I am all that stands between you and a church council meeting or your lunch. And I get that. So expect to see it in about a half hour. Watch what it says. The author of Hebrews is frustrated. He just went through in chapter 9 a conversation about who Jesus is. And he gets into chapter 10 and he's frustrated because Jesus has died. He's rose again. The people in the Hebrews in this book, they went through the time of Jesus' death and resurrection. They are not dealing with what the people in the Gospels dealt with, not knowing what Jesus was talking about, because they didn't know what was going to happen. These folks know. They've been taught about the death and resurrection. They've told them about that. They've showed them the conversation with it and showed them what they have seen through that. And yet the people of Hebrews continue to do the same thing over and over again, and they expect to get different results. I wonder what the author of Hebrews would write to the New Testament church today if he was writing. So it gets into this conversation about sacrifices. Now you're going to know what this is about by just the reading. As you read through this, he begins in verse 1 by saying, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come. The law points to Jesus. Now, I understand in doing that, we have many places in the Old Testament, the events stand on their own. The Red Sea crossing, the getting the tablets on the mount, the wilderness experience, the Jordan crossing back into the promised land. All the different things in those readings take place and we see them. And they on their own stand alone, but there's a pointing to God. Well, the law itself could never fulfill itself. Why? Well, once a year, you would have to come to the temple. Now, you had your synagogues you would go to the rest of the time, but once a year you came to the temple. And ended at the temple, you would sacrifice, your yearly sacrifice, a blood offering for your sins. Okay? So you'd have a bull or a goat or a pigeon, depending on the money you could afford. And you would take those and sacrifice them. And if you go through and read Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, it'll give you all the different ways those sacrifices was done. Now, let me be fair and clear to you. If you bring a bull in next Sunday for me to sacrifice for your sin, I'm not doing it. Okay, let's be clear. Have you ever read the sacrifices in those books? They are nice enough to give you the complete details of every one of those sacrifices, including what to do with the insides of each animal. Which one gets burnt, which one they get to give to the priest for them to eat. The Levitical tribe gets to eat those things. That's how they're fed and cared for. It gives you every ounce of what they do with that. No thanks. I would have to be something else at that time. Even growing up on a farm, I still don't want to do that. So you would come once a year for that offering. And your sins would be, now wait for it and hear it, they would be covered with the blood of that animal. Not done away with, but covered. I mean, they're still there. Now, of course, if you committed one of 137 other sins, I may have that number wrong, but I think I'm right. You had to come back to the temple. And you had to get a grain offering for one kind of sin. You had to get a love offering for another kind of sin. You had to give an oil offering for another kind of sin. You could come back. And so each sin throughout the year required you to come back. And if it was certain kind of sins, and we're not going to go into that today, but if it was certain kind of sins, you would be placed outside of the community. And you'd have to be by yourself for 7 days before you would be whole again, and you would come back and wash the ritual 7 washings and come back before the priest, and the priest would cleanse you, and you would then offer the bull again or the animal sacrifice again, because you had to go back through the yearly cleansing. And it happened over and over. Where so much so, I have a feeling if it was me, I would just pinch me a tent outside of the temple and just went in daily. I mean, why waste time going home and coming back? You know, I just stay there and do it. I mean, what the heck, you know? And so it's that understanding that that's how the sacrifices work. Well, the author of Hebrews is really frustrated because the Hebrew people who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, the word Christian's not being used yet, but for this morning, we'll think of them as that. They are still doing all the sacrifices, even though they've accepted Jesus as their Savior through his death and resurrection. Say this to you, so tell me how they look. Here's what happens. Year after year, sins are reflected. Year after year, we go through a process. And year after year, people hang on to tradition. How do they look? They look okay out there? Okay. Year after year, they go. We hang on to tradition. We believe a certain way, and it doesn't change, and we hang on to tradition. As if it is what saves us. Now, I'm as a traditional person as you can ever get. I love my creeds. I want to sing my Gloria Patris. I want to read Psalters. I want to sing after that. I want to do all these different things. But however, every now and then I like a good gospel quartet. Don't y'all? Not every Sunday. But every now and then I like a good gospel quartet. I'd like to form a gospel quartet, but the problem is I can't get 3 men who are brave enough to sing with me in a gospel quartet, because one of the voices would be mine. I want to do some of those things that look different and feel different, because see, the same sacrifices every week doesn't get you saved. They just don't. So if you think about the process, as you read through what is being said by the author of Hebrews, he's asking the question, well, if the sacrifice was so good, why did you do it yearly? If it's covered you and got rid of your sin, then why did you have to do it over and over and over again? Key terms there is covered, not abolish your sins or get rid of them. Process of this is us to understand that even God got tired of the sacrifices. On to verse 5, just to read it. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you take no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have come to do your will. God doesn't want these sacrifices anymore. Why would he give his son so we'd have to continue to do the sacrifices? See, if you walk through that process and thought, think of the sacrifices we think we have to do to please God. You'll notice that so far since I've been here, I've not preached on tithing. Why? Nobody likes my sermons on tithing. You know why? Because I don't believe in a 10% tithe. That's Old Testament. I believe what Jesus said. Give everything you are, as I have done, your complete being, all that you have, to God, and you've just given what's required of you. People like the 10% thing better than mine. You know why? Because I think God wants it all. I think God wants every part of you, every bit of you. Now, frankly, if we could get 10% tithe of the church, we'd be rolling in dough, but that's another conversation. It's that process of what happens to this is that God wants us, every bit of us. Now, that's my only part of sermon about tithing for at least a while. Because I want you to hear, sometimes we think when we tithe, we're sacrificing. It's kind of like sacrificing bulls on the altar. I've sacrificed my 10%, so I've done what the sacrifice requires. When Jesus is trying to teach us, we do it out of love and caring for God. See, when we walk through this process, the sacrifices only work for that short period of time. Jesus' blood works for how long? Forever. Now, to do a little theology with you for about 2 minutes. Theology, not just sermonology, theology. We as Methodists, Wesleyans, it really is Wesleyan, that covers a bunch of different denominations. We as Wesleyans believe that we are free will people who have a three-step process for salvation. Stay with me. We have prevenient grace. This is Wesley's teaching, Wesleyan. That before you know you need God, the Holy Spirit teaches you of your need for God. We have justification. That when we accept Christ, we are justified just as we are. We didn't change when we were saved. God does the changing through the Holy Spirit. We didn't have to wait till we got good to come and accept Christ. In fact, Jesus wants you to get justification just as you are, as sinful as you are. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus wants you to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Jesus, through the Spirit, will do the changing. And then we have sanctification. It is after you've believed in Christ as Savior, you grow as a disciple, as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's our three-step process. Calvin's, this people, and we love them. We do. We love them. I was born in a Calvinist group, raised as a Calvinist, called Baptist. They believe, as Presbyterians believe, they wouldn't language it this way, but it is. They believe that you have already been called and that your future is fulfilled even before it does, called predestination. Now somebody said, well, Baptists aren't predestination people. Well, yeah, they are. Because when you accept Christ as Savior in a Baptist church, you're saved, once saved, always saved, and you cannot reject God even if you wanted to. Well, if we're free will, we have the right to reject. Now, I don't know of anybody in their right saved mind that would do that, but they have a right to do that. It's called free will. So if you walk through this process of salvation, in it is an understanding that the gift is offered by Christ. He paid the price for your salvation. But in that, guess what happens? God gives the gift. But how many of y'all around your house have presents from Christmas that you haven't opened yet? Y'all open them at Christmas or thereabouts? At our house, we've got 2 other daughters, my Marilyn's mom, we've got relatives in West Virginia. Christmas kind of goes for eternity. I mean, it's like we have 9 Christmas openings or something. So I can't say Christmas Day, but you know what I'm saying. When you get there, you don't look at them, and the president comes down and says, you know, I don't think I'll open that. Y'all try that 1 year. Looks nice. I think I'll do it in February. What do you do with it when you get it? You open. Now you may re-gift it. Can't imagine re-gifting salvation. But you open it when you get it. We have been given a gift. It's called salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But guess what we have to do? We have to accept it. We have to open the present. We have to take it in. Every time somebody says to you, you don't have to do anything to accept Jesus, spit in their eye. Tell them they're wrong. We have to accept the gift. We have to take what's there. So if you continue reading this, if you look at this scripture, and you watch what it says towards the end of this, in the middle of verse 9, it says, he abolishes the first in order to establish the second. When Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law, not what? Abolish it. And yet in Hebrews, because these folk aren't paying attention to the gift, they've accepted Christ. He's the one that died and rose up. But we're going to keep doing sacrifices. They are not understanding that the process of that has been done away with. In the fulfillment of the law, Jesus did away with what those things did so that we go through with the process of accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. He's trying to get them to understand that. So he says in verse 10, it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And here's the three words. Once for all. Trying to tell the Hebraic people they don't have to keep sacrificing. The gift has been given them. Just as the gift has been given to us. So we sing a song. They'll know we are Christians by our love. See, we do what we do. We serve the church. We give our tithe. We work at the church. We witness to other people. We teach people about Jesus. We forgive people who sometimes are hard to forgive. We do all those things not because we're sacrificing to do it. We do all of those things because of the love of Jesus Christ and the love that we have in our souls given to us by Jesus to give to others. It is a gift of love, not a sacrifice. I've told people for years, and I don't want you to go to church now to get too carried away with this, but I've told people for years, I preach for nothing. If I'd been paid for preaching all these years, I'd be a pauper in some road without any clothes or anything to wear. I don't get paid for preaching. I get paid for all the other stuff. It's not preaching y'all pay me for. I got bad news for y'all. When they put me at home, probably more bad news for Mary and Gracie, when they make me go home for the final time, on Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a sermon till my deathbed happens. And I may preach it while I'm dying. I don't get paid for preaching. Why? Because I've been given the gift. Not of preaching. There's better preachers. Lord have mercy. If you're going to church for the preaching, good luck. Pray for you. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. You better be going to church to see the Holy Spirit move your soul and be changed by that Spirit each time you sing a song and you worship and you pray and you bow at the altar and you offer thanksgiving and you read that creed and you do all those things. This morning, I walked out of the house and I picked up a suit jacket. Because I'd said it was summer, we're going to be more casual. Now, none of y'all ever do this, so I'm the only one in the room. So I picked up a suit jacket to put it on. My wardrobe consists of five sizes of clothes. Small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, 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 extra large. None of y'all do that. You stay the same size your entire life. Amen. So this morning I picked up the suit coat for the small. Well, it's just like the one for the extra large. Not the extra extra, but the extra large. And I got out of the car to put it on at Pleasant Hill, and guess what it did not do? So at Pleasant Hill this morning, I preached in my shirt, my pants, my socks, my shoes, and because it was cold in their building, a pullover jacket that looked like I was going to a Mardi Gras parade. In fact, the people there kept wanting me to find pants to match. It's really loud. Some of y'all who are around church sometimes see it on occasion. Got a hoodie and everything. Somehow I couldn't believe I was preaching in a hoodie. That is not my tradition. Amazingly, the building didn't cave in. Worship happened. We sang, we prayed, and we preached. And Jesus was there. I think we're like the Hebrew people. We get so caught up in the sacrifices, the way we do things, the way we have to do things, that we forget the most important part, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Let us pray together. The offering of Jesus Christ. Wow. Imagine Jesus Christ offering himself for me, for us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loving me. When sometimes I can't even love myself. Help us understand, O Lord, that sometimes service is a sacrifice, but we don't sacrifice for the sacrifice. We give love. And if it requires a sacrifice, then it does. It is the love that we have for God and each other. May that love be seen in all that we say and do. Thank you, Lord, for being here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Somehow we couldn't end the day without singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, page 170. You'll find that in your Methodist hymnal on the screen. Let's stand and sing together. Oh, So church council, as I understand it, if I read the memo correctly, is open to everyone. Is that right? Okay. So I invite everyone to stay. We'll have a great time. No food, but we'll have a great time. Food will be offered when you get to the restaurant afterwards, or your house. But we want you to come and be part of that today. Have several things to talk about. Next Sunday, I think, Larry, you will have a brief synopsis of annual conference. So we'll have that in the midst of the service next week. I can't wait to hear Larry's perspective on it. I have mine, but I doubt mine and his are completely the same. And so he'll do that during worship service next week. And so then I'll give you my brief understanding of it also next week. So let us pray together. Grace, if you want to come join us, you can now. Oh, you can stay right there. Let's pray together. May God's grace be offered to all of us. The sacrifice has been made. The grace has been given. The love is present for us. May we walk in your grace and go in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And if anybody here has a church office key, we would love to get back into our office. You got one, Richard? Go in peace.